Welcome to Winning English, helping your English shine through the use of idioms, slang, and cultural references. Today, the impact of the Bible on the English language. Before I get too far, I want to remind you to please hit that subscribe button below. Look for great content each week. Thanks. On with the show. In my last episode, I discussed the impact of William Shakespeare on everyday English. That got me thinking about another major influence, the Bible. The Bible, of course, is the holy book of Christianity. Parts of it are sacred to Judaism and Islam as well, but I'm not concerned with its religious content right now. I'm interested in how sayings and phrases from the Bible have become very common in everyday English speech and writing. These sayings and phrases are so common that many people don't even realize they are quoting or referring to the Bible. I'll get to several examples in a moment, but first I want to give you a bit of history. The Bible originally was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, so it had to be translated into English. There are many different English translations, but the King James Bible is a famous version. It was commissioned by King James, oddly enough, who was the ruler of what would become the United Kingdom. It was finished in 1611, so it has been influencing English for 400 years. Okay, that's enough history. Let's get to some examples of common sayings and phrases from the Bible. First, let there be light. Let there be light comes from the book of Genesis in the Bible. It's part of that book's story on how the world was created. In English now, though, this phrase can be used when something is revealed or understood. It's often used in a joking way. It tries to make the thing seem more important than it really is. I think when most people use this phrase, they know they are quoting the Bible because the language is very poetic. But that won't be true for some of the other sayings. For example, there's the saying, "Rise and shine." Rise and shine is a lighthearted saying people use when waking someone up in the morning. For example, if you are waking up your child for school, you might say, "Rise and shine, it's time for another fun day." I think most people don't realize that this phrase is a reference to a passage from the book of Isaiah. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Some sources I read said this first became popular in the military and eventually made its way into everyday speech. Another common phrase is to say that two people see eye to eye. This also comes from the book of Isaiah. In this passage, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." Now, originally, see eye to eye here meant that these people were going to meet physically, in person, not over the phone or in a Zoom call. But it no longer means that. Instead, it means that two people agree with one another. For example, you might say, "This corporate merger will go well. The two founders see eye to eye." In other words, they agree on business strategy and so on. By the way, in modern English, when we want to say two people are meeting in person, we instead say they are meeting face to face. The phrase "to go the extra mile" might sound like a bad thing, as if you have to do more work, but actually, it's a good thing. When someone goes the extra mile, it means that he or she is working harder and doing more than people would normally be expected to. For example, you might compliment someone at work by saying, "Wow, this presentation that you put together is really excellent. You really went the extra mile." This is a very common saying, But I think many people might not realize that they are referencing a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus says, "And whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Now, you probably noticed right away that this is very old-fashioned poetic English. It's from the King James Bible translation that I mentioned before. Phrasing it in more modern English, you might say, if someone forces you to go a mile, go a second mile too. In the second book of Samuel, there's a story of deceit and lying. In the story, a nephew of David, the king of Israel, recruits a woman to help him influence the king. As part of that plan, he tells the woman exactly what to say to the king. He tells her exactly what words to use. In a sense, he puts words in her mouth. In modern English, this phrase has become a way to criticize someone that you think is being unfair to you. This phrase can be tricky to use. Let me give you a short example of a conversation. Your spouse says to you, "Let's go out for dinner tonight. Let's go to my favorite restaurant." You respond, "No, let's just eat at home instead." Your spouse responds, "You must really hate my favorite restaurant." You say, "What? Of course not. I love that restaurant too. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm just tired tonight." In this example, the one person put words in the mouth of the other. The one person made it seem as if the other person was saying something that he or she wasn't. I hope you've enjoyed these examples. There are many, many more. This is just a drop in the bucket, and I'll cover more of them in future newsletters. Drop in the bucket, by the way, comes from the book of Isaiah again. Isaiah is very quotable, it appears. The original text reads, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance." As you might be able to guess, if you describe something as a drop in the bucket, it is small and of little importance. It is just one drop of water in a giant bucket of water. Thanks for being part of Winning English. Again, make sure to hit that subscribe button and sign up for the email newsletter at winningenglish.substack.com. The newsletter has a transcript of this video and additional content. This time I have a link to even more examples of Bible references. Plus, I have an interesting graphic from Visual Capitalist on how words follow trade routes between countries. Please follow Winning English on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram as well. Maybe even consider donating to this project through Patreon. I have a link in the description below. Most of all, remember, if you like Winning English, please tell a friend. Talk soon.